So for the past few weeks, we've been thinking about what the first half of this text means. And we've come to the line in the text that reads... What's it say? A prayer I make a Buddha to become equal to you, my Dharma King, we talked about last week. So this evening I'm going to talk about to lead all beings to the other shore, leaving none behind. And I realize there's several different things that I could say about these two lines, and one thing in a way that seems important is to say what it means by the other shore. What does it mean to lead all beings to the other shore? And when I was thinking about how to describe this, I remembered when we had sutra study, a study class that I was in a couple of years ago, where we were talking about how do you describe nirvana or the other shore to people. And I can't remember whether this metaphor came out of the text you were looking at or whether Janamati suggested it, but the sort of image that I remember was somebody saying, it's like trying to explain what a satsuma is to somebody who's never tasted a satsuma. You can say it's a bit like an orange, I suppose, but you never really... you won't really understand the nuances of satsumanness until you've eaten or seen or experienced what it means to be a satsuma, or to be in relationship to satsuma.
Can
I join
in?
Yes, do come in. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, welcome. Do have a seat. We've just recited a text, and I'm just speaking about what two of the lines in the text mean. And the line that I'm talking about is the text is recited by somebody who goes and meets a spiritual teacher and then makes a vow to become like as wise and as compassionate as his spiritual teacher. And one of the things that he says is, I vow to lead all beings to the other shore. And I was just saying that it's very difficult to describe what the other shore means, because it's talking about an experience that, unless one has had something like that experience, it's difficult to get across. So the other shore is a metaphor, but I can say something about it which also points to something about the whole of Buddhism, and that is, it's a leaving behind of selfishness. This shore that we are all on now, most of the time, is a shore that's characterized by thinking about ourselves first, usually, and when we're not thinking about ourselves first, always thinking about ourselves in relation to others. So it's characterized by wanting things, by not wanting things, by disliking things, by liking things. Everything we experience, we sort of measure somehow in relation to ourselves. And the experience of being on the other shore is the opposite of this. It's being completely in the world, if you like, without the experience of measuring everything in relation to yourself. So you're able to face whatever comes and deal with it, whether that's celebrating with it or mourning with it, completely free of any conceit. This is the experience of being on the other shore. And so the vow that this monk is making is to bring everybody from an experience of being conceited somehow, of measuring up their relationships, their possessions, their experiences in the world, of measuring them in relationship to their own desires, to an experience of being with them without needing to measure, without needing to judge, to be able to have a completely loving response that's free of any grain of selfishness. And that's a very difficult thing to do. I was thinking, well, you've set yourself a real challenge, you know, because actually it's very difficult to lead people anywhere. And actually, when you look at the examples of what the Buddha did and what his disciples did when they were teaching, they didn't. Sometimes they would be quite strident with their words, but often it was more like opening a gate and saying, this is what lies beyond the gate. come with me or do these practices or surround yourself with people who want the same thing and we'll go through the gate together. And then it's up to that person to step through the gate or not step through the gate. And I suppose in terms of the other thing that I was thinking is in terms of pure Buddhism, you can sort of, or we can take these two lines in two ways. One is, each of us could make the same vow to lead everybody to this state of liberation from conceit and to become like this wonderful spiritual teacher ourselves. And in many schools of Buddhism, the emphasis on practicing, on learning to be perfectly compassionate, to become perfectly wise, to undo all of your desires, all of your hate, all of your greed, until you are in a state where you're able to be not only in the other shore yourself, but able to lead everybody to the other shore, which is a very noble aspiration. But from the point of view of this school of Buddhism, you could say that what we're doing is putting ourselves in relationship to somebody else who has already been to the other shore, who is currently abiding in the other shore. So when we practice reciting the Buddhist name, when we do these kind of devotional meditational practice, what we're doing is really opening our heart up to the experience of somebody who has already achieved a liberation from conceit, from self. And that the experience of being in relation to that is what inspires us ourselves to wade into the stream and try and get to the other shore, but also somehow carries us across, rather than learning. If you think of the image of the other shore as being on the other side of a great river, a metaphor that's often used is, or sort of a continuation of the metaphor, is you can either swim across yourself, in which case you need to learn how to swim really well. You need to be very strong because it's very wide and a very fast river. Or you can trust that there is going to be a boat to take you across the other shore. And in this image, the boat represents our relationship with Amida Buddha, who is the person who recited this text, who made this vow to lead all beings to the other shore. So the practice here is less about us putting great effort into becoming somebody who will lead others to the other shore, although that may happen as a byproduct, but about putting ourselves in relationship to this transcendental being who has already achieved liberation from self and who has made a vow to lead all of us from where we are now to liberation. Namo Amida Buddha.